Disclaimer: the following broadcast gives a true and honest account of the events described, and all evidence and details herein are solely factual. What you are about to hear is real and may disturb you. Caution is strongly advised. Welcome to Dead Souls Social Club.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you all so much for tuning into this episode tonight. It's going to be a kind of relaxed fit of sorts, if you can label it as such a thing. A few weeks back, I posted a story on our podcast Instagram, and also sent out a newsletter to those on our mailing list, for those of you who remember. I asked for your questions in an attempt to communicate directly with you all following our short absence. Well, we received quite a few questions from you, and I'm going to try and answer as many of them as I can for you tonight. As a quick aside, I just want to thank everyone who took part and submitted questions to us. We not only appreciate the interaction, but also appreciate the acknowledgement that you take note of us and our small little show. So, thank you from everyone here. I should probably add that the usual way we prepare our podcast episodes means that we lay out all our research in bullet point form so that we can ensure the flow of our story hits specific information markers and also includes everything that we want to talk about. But we haven't done this tonight for the first time ever. Instead, I've just been given the questions a few minutes ago by Grace, our producer, and I'm going to read them for the first time as I record this. So this is my live reaction, if you like. It's an attempt to be open and honest with you guys, and as open as honest as we possibly can. That aside, if my flow is off or I fumble what I'm saying, then that's why. It's entirely off the cuff and real. Alrighty then. Let's make a start, shall we? I hope you're all sitting comfortably. Question 1. I saw you giving a talk at the Hay Festival and also in Nottingham just before the pandemic, where you spoke about the Manson family cult and also UAP phenomena. Do you plan to give any more live talks? Thank you for this question. The Hay Festival, whilst we did give a talk at the time of the Hay Festival in the town of Hay-on-Wye, in Wales, we weren't officially part of the festival, shall we say. Let's call it a fringe event. but we did play in the rescue rooms in Nottingham just before the pandemic. Yeah, so thank you for attending both. We would definitely love to give more live talks. We used to prior to the pandemic, but unfortunately that kind of messed things up. But we will be back. It's not something that's been top of our list to get back into, because we just are very conscious at the moment that not everyone is, ready to go back into a live venue environment and so on. So we've returned with the podcast, and we will return for more live talks probably in the future once things settle down just a little bit more. But it is something that we love doing on multiple subjects and so on. So yeah, we will definitely be back. Keep an eye out on the website for that. Thank you. Question number 2. Fairly simple one, this one. It asks, where has your podcast been for so long? Well, yeah, so we took a 8-month break. That included some time out for various members of our team to focus on some other things. Grace, our producer, worked away in Norway for a few months, and several of us worked on, you know, several other projects. We never really took a step away from the podcast. It's just life really got in the way. We had a lot of things going on at the moment, but we very much are committed to the show. And now that kind of that period is done and dusted with, we have a very clear plan and focus for the future, so you won't be able to get rid of us as easy going forward, shall we say. Question number 3. This is quite interesting. It asks, do you believe in everything that you research and talk about? This is interesting for many reasons, because the latest few episodes we've focused on very much current factual affairs in culture and so on. For example, like we did an episode on fascism, we've done an episode on gun violence and so on. I think we even did an episode on Brexit before that. But we also do talk about various elements of fringe science, the paranormal, conspiracies and so on. I can officially say that personally, I do not believe in everything that we research and talk about, but that is the point in why we research. We talk about facts that we uncover and find, and if what we research and uncover is based on fact and evidence, then absolutely, because the facts and evidence support the realism of what we're talking about. Sometimes we will touch on such topics that are quite out there, possibly, and I don't necessarily have all the evidence to support the conjecture surrounding the, be it the mythos or the story about what reportedly happened and so on. But I always believe in the evidence that we find, whether it is genuine evidence, but not necessarily some of the theoretical outcomes that others pose, shall we say. Does that make sense? Is that a suitable answer? I hope so. I'll give you an example for clarity's sake. We did two episodes in regards to the John F. Kennedy assassination, and that was based on facts that we'd uncovered and research that we'd done, and I absolutely believed in everything that we spoke about, because we saw it with our own eyes. We saw the evidence, the documentation with our own eyes. Does that also mean that we had a solid outcome that we could prove? Undoubtedly, not necessarily, no. The evidence pointed in various directions. I believe in what we can prove and what I can confidently say is real. I hope that's a good enough answer. I feel it's quite convoluted. I do apologize. Question number four. How many are involved in your team and what do you investigate? I listened to your ghost investigation and it creeped me out. Thanks for this question. It creeped me out too. Being there was a whole new level. So our team, if you'll check out our website, which is www.deathcult.com, death is in DETHCULT.com, that actually lists the kind of the permanent members of our group. Obviously there's myself as showrunner, we have our producer and research expert Grace. She's involved in the sciences and so on. Mark, who does a lot of our kind of design and marketing, and we have another member who likes to remain anonymous, shall we say. So we've listed him on the website as Raul, which is a kind of in-joke amongst us. But there's four of us permanently here that are always working on the show, working on the research, and, you know, make up our team. But we do have various other fledgling members who come and go. We have a very close friend who is Los Angeles-based, who is fantastic in that he shares and researches a lot of information based there, and Los Angeles being one of my favorite cities in the world, just purely because it's so dark. There's so much rich, dark history there, that a lot of our research and information takes us to that place. So it's great to have somebody who is based there who's able to work with us and so on. So we have a gentleman called Michael who is based there, and like I said, we have a few others, probably about three or four, who contribute now and again, who get involved regarding specific topics where their expertise lies and so on. But for the sake of this now getting very long answer, we have four permanent members of our team, and some friends who choose to work with us. Thank you. Next question. It states, a few years back, you used to advertise investigation research services on your website. Do you still do this? Yes, we did. And yes, we still do, but we don't have it on our website anymore. We simplified our website, basically. About a month or two ago, we redesigned the website just to keep it as purely a basic link to some of our episodes and our information. We felt it was pretty cluttered before, and it got to the point where there was a hell of a lot of information on there to wade through, and we just wanted to streamline it. We do offer these services. We do offer to get involved when people have various things that they want to know more about, shall we say. We're not a private detective agency by a long shot. We don't do that kind of thing at all. But we do offer to research and investigate various phenomenon if anyone reaches out to us. Obviously, we don't do it out of the kindness of our hearts. We do, you know, it is something that a service that we would request, you know, funding for, because it's not cheap to do these things. But at the same time, this sounds like I'm pitching a business. Our rates are reasonable, so if you do want to get involved with us or work with us, or have us come and support you with an investigation, absolutely reach out. We'd love to work with you. In fact, the question before this, whether the person referred to the ghost investigation that we did, that was in support of a listener who reached out, and we spent a few days at his property, and conducted an investigation there, and also quite a few months of kind of pre-research as well. So that was about 6 months working with that listener who reached out. So I mean, yes is the answer, the short answer. Yes, we do. Next question. How did Dead Souls form and start doing what you do now? Good question. I've been interested in all of this, shall we call it, this phenomenon, and the various offshoots about it that we discuss, since I was very young. Bizarrely, I had a grandfather who was interested in a lot of these subjects and was part of a group that researched it. So I kind of got a lot of that from him. Grace I met at university when we did psychology, and we kind of clicked over our shared interest of this phenomena. I call it this phenomena. I mean, obviously we're discussing various aspects on this podcast, be it true crime, fringe science, dark history, that kind of thing. But we found that we had a shared interest in almost every one of these subjects. Raoul is a friend of mine that goes back to childhood. We've always had a shared interest, and he did a similar course at university, which allowed to heighten his interest in these areas of interest and phenomenon. And Mark I met through my previous career as a musician, and we became close friends. It's all about just kind of getting to know various people who share the same interests over the years. And you know, we got together, we became friends, we clicked over shared interests and wanting to continue our interest by investigating and research further. Basically, it just kind of spawned from there. I mean, it's just happened very organically over the last, you know, 20, 25 years or so. So, there we go. Next question. What is the most interesting, strange, or terrifying thing that you have seen or experienced? The episode that we did where we researched the ghosts at a listener's house, there were some interesting and unnerving incidents that happened during that process. Probably some of them. Also, some incidents that happened in our research to an episode which is coming up in regards to the Process Church of the Final Judgment. That involves various aspects of Satan worship and serial killing and so on. And there were some incidents that we'll go into in that episode when we release that. And we're hoping to release that actually later this month. So you should see what I mean there. So definitely. Definitely those things. I mean, it's difficult. I know a lot of people will expect us to say, something that's quite out there. But if something was real enough, phenomena-wise, to genuinely scare us, then we'd have, I'd like to hope, a level of evidence that we could use to support our experience with said phenomenon. But, but if we had that, we'd be very wealthy people. So, next question. What podcasts and YouTube channels do you listen to and watch? Not many, actually. I don't listen to many podcasts. I prefer to listen to audiobooks. I love audiobooks. If I'm traveling or have some downtime at home, it's an audiobook rather than a podcast I listen to. YouTube channels, not so many. In fact, probably almost zero. I do love a documentary. But I don't know, because the YouTube videos are not always made by individuals from credible backgrounds, where you don't always know if their backgrounds are credible. It's difficult to know or verify if the information being presented in a lot of YouTube videos is factual or just assumption. And as for entertainment, obviously I wouldn't go to YouTube for entertainment. There's, you know, various movies and whatnot I can watch for that. But so the answer to that is no to YouTube and no to podcasts, really. I'm sorry. But there we are. Next question. Have you heard about the events at the Ariel School in the 1990s? Yes, I definitely have. I think a lot of people have. It's very much in prominence at the moment due to the recent documentary that was released on the subject. And we are actually going to talk about it in an upcoming episode where we discuss UAP phenomenon more in depth. It's, the Ariel School is going to be part of that episode. So if you do want to hear us discuss the Ariel School and what happened there, which is a fascinating documented event, then yeah, tune into that episode. It won't be the next one we drop, but it might be the one after. We were going to drop our UAP phenomena episode last week, actually, but we held it back just purely because of the recent United Kingdom government's disclosure of the Calvine UFO photograph. So we wanted to include that in the episode solely because it's such a fantastic photo and the eyewitness stories that go with it. We decided to add that on the episode. So that episode might drop either next week or the week after, but keep an eye out, and that will also include our thoughts, feelings, and our evidence around the Ariel School phenomena in Zimbabwe. Next question. The question is, do you believe in UFOs, astral projections, mental telepathy, ESP, clairvoyance, spirit photography, telekinetic movement, full trance mediums, the Loch Ness Monster, and the theory of Atlantis? I think I know who submitted this question. It's a quote from my favorite movie. And I believe the response is, if there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you want. Next question. Do you believe in exorcisms? Do you believe that they are real? And have you ever witnessed any exorcisms? Interesting subject. We have kind of put together three quarters of an episode on the subject of exorcisms that we're going to release later in the year. I haven't researched exorcisms personally. However, my grandfather did, and he... before he passed away, or when he passed away, rather, he left me a lot of notes and documents around research that he did into the subject and things that he witnessed. So that's stuff that we've included in an upcoming episode. It is fascinating, and as somebody with a background in psychology, I do find it very, very interesting. I do think that... jump into the exorcism outcome should be a lot less likely to happen these days, as opposed to what it might have been years ago. But saying that, the numbers suggest otherwise. The numbers of exorcisms carried out by the Catholic Church is actually increasing, believe it or not, which is quite surprising given the advances in psychological medicine and theory. It should realistically be the other way around, but it isn't, so that's some food for thought. I do have various thoughts, opinions, and data in this area, and like I said, we'll share that in the upcoming episode that we do on the subject. Very interesting subject, though. Very interesting, and not as cut and dry and straightforward as a lot of disbelievers would have you believe, I think. Next question. Will you ever release part 3 of your JFK trilogy? Gosh, we get asked this quite a lot. If you remember going back about a year ago when we did the trilogy, we made an announcement on social media that we had prepared part 3. And because of an injunction, shall we say, or a legal preventative measure, we were stopped from putting out the third part unless we changed various aspects of it. Well, we did, but we haven't released the third part yet. But we are going to. We are looking to do so around about November time, which is, of course, the anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination. So watch out for the third part then. We do apologize for taking so long to release the third part. But when we do eventually release it, we will go into more detail about all the drama that surrounded the research and recording of that episode, shall we say. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. It's really interesting. And it caused us a lot of issue, shall we say. But you'll find out around November time. Next question. You started to advertise podcast merchandise, but then withdrew it. Do you plan to actually release it? Yeah, we did. And similar to the live talk situation, COVID hit, became a reality, and changed an awful lot of our plans. At the time that COVID landed, we were planning to do a series of live talks around various venues in the UK, and the merchandise was part of the supplementary material to go along with that. We were also planning to release some on our website. We kind of put everything that we prepared into storage. We still got it, and we will eventually release it. But it makes sense to release it when we resume doing live shows and discussions and so on. So it will be out there. It's not our priority at the moment, but it will eventually be released, so you'll be able to get your hands on some if you so desire. Next question. Are there correlations between belief in the paranormal and other types of belief systems? And would a poor person be more likely to see a ghost if they were religious, for example? This is a really cool question, actually. I like this one. Okay, so there are some cross-cultural differences in terms of the details, but the underlying concepts tend to be quite similar. For example, belief in spirits of the dead are to be found in all societies, both historically and geographically. But the details can vary a lot, I guess. What people experience reflects their own cultural background, so that strongly supports the idea that such experiences reflect cultural expectations, for example. So I guess, like, sort of Christians never meet Hindu gods during a near-death experience and so on. But people from all cultures can experience an NDE, near-death experience. With respect to socioeconomic status and superstitious thinking, it tends to be the case that lower socioeconomic classes tend to adapt more traditional superstitious beliefs, whereas educated middle classes go for superstitions such as, let's say feng shui, complementary medicine, crystal healing, that kind of thing. Just kind of esoteric pursuits, should we say, that require disposable income more so than lower socioeconomic classes anyway, if that makes sense. That's my view anyway. Yes, I guess, is the general answer to your question. Sorry, I'm kind of fading in and out of trying to provide an answer and also parley my thoughts. So apologies for the spacious and sporadic responsiveness there. But next question. Next question states, I have a question about sleep paralysis. Do you believe it is a psychological occurrence or a physical manifestation, an experience of an entity? Many people report seeing the same thing, such as an evil old woman, for example. I'm glad someone's asked about sleep paralysis, actually, because this is something that I have personally experienced, particularly when I was younger. I'd speculate that the common themes that recur during sleep paralysis episodes might have their roots in our evolutionary history, But I do admit that I do not really know for sure. Having said that, there is a great variety in terms of details of what people experience and so on, which does include things like gremlins, rapidly growing pot plants, fairies, that kind of thing. But in regards to the evil old woman, the old hag hypothesis, as it's known, is a very common occurrence, and that is something that I did personally experience. Just to diverse into an offshoot for a moment, when I was younger, I think it was around 8 or 9, and I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast or not before, but if I haven't, when I was around about that age, I went through a period for about 6 months of regularly waking up in the night with sleep paralysis. Now, I used to have a room at the back of the house, which was completely the other end of the house to my grandparents, who I lived with. So it was a really old house. It was quite a rickety old, like, farmhouse type thing, so there were various bumps and creaks in the night and so on. So it was quite scary for a young child. But I remember I quite often woke up. When I'd wake up, I remember without opening my eyes, I'd always be fearful to open them, that I knew that there was a presence there, or felt like somebody was looking at me or watching me. And this happened quite often. But I specifically remember a few instances of slowly opening my eyes to see what was there that I could feel in the room with me. And there being the face of a really old, haggard woman, really close to my face, which, as you can imagine, for an 8-year-old, or for anyone of any age, really, it scared the holy shit out of me. And all I could do, as I was paralyzed at the time, I couldn't move, was to be able to close my eyes tightly and just hope that it went away, which it eventually did. But it is something that I experienced on several occurrences, and it very much is a true phenomenon. So I do believe people when they say that they suffer from sleep paralysis and they experience the phenomenon of the old hag. It is very much real. Why do so many people see it? Very good questions. It could be based in psychology. It could be based on true life manifestations. Who knows? Maybe someday I'll do an investigation and some further research into it. But it really is a really interesting subject. And if you are experiencing sleep paralysis, then you generally have my sympathies, because I've been there myself. So, next question. Have you ever met the paranormal expert, Zach Bagans? On any of your investigations or trips? Simple answer, nope. I'm not quite sure who this guy is. Does he present one of these Discovery Channel, History Channel paranormal shows? I'm not sure. Is he a paranormal expert, or is he a television presenter of these shows? I don't know. I don't know who he is. I'm sure he's a gentleman with a large following and knows his stuff, but no, I haven't had the pleasure of crossing paths with him, I'm afraid. Next question, what is your most favorite subject to research? Good question. At the moment, I am thoroughly invested in the subject of the Process Church of the Final Judgment and the children, the offshoot cult of that previous cult, and various crimes that come along with that. I also have a very deep interest in the Zodiac Killer and the surrounding events, and also the Manson family and surrounding events. Those of you who know me will know my very long obsession with such case. I'm also really invested in the conspiracy around the John F. Kennedy assassination, UAP phenomenon. The list goes on. There's quite a lot of... I'm also quite interested, this is fairly niche, in celebrity crime and scandal as well, old Hollywood and that kind of thing. There's a fantastic gentleman over in Los Angeles called Scott Michaels, who runs, he did run a tour company in Los Angeles called Dearly Departed Tours, but I believe since the pandemic they are now solely online. But he's a fascinating gentleman to watch for stuff like old Hollywood scandal, celebrity crimes and so on. I think his stuff is fascinating. That's a real niche that I like digging into as well. Okay, next up. Question. Do you think David Berkowitz acted alone? Simple answer is no. No, he didn't. The evidence supports that there were other people involved. And I will go into that in more detail in my episode in regards to the process Church of the Final Judgment. Next question. Do you think we are existing in a simulation? This is an interesting subject. I've recently had conversations with a number of friends about this. Did you know, in fact, scientifically and mathematically, we are probably not in a base reality. There's mathematical evidence that would suggest that if there were a simulation, that we would almost certainly be in it and not at base point. So who knows? It's hard to say. I mean, you could argue, I mean, if you're religious, there are very proponents to state that life is a simulation of God's will, for example, regardless of which religious or offshoot of belief you have. But there's also various other, you know, theories or questions that you could ask going down the rabbit hole of the movies like The Matrix and so on, which purport similar theories. Who knows? But yeah, mathematically, we are more likely to be than not, should we say. So that's quite interesting, isn't it? Next question. Have you seen Missing 411, and what do you think is happening to all the people in national parks? Missing 411, I think, likes to, without saying it in so many words, likes to hint that there is either extraterrestrial abduction going on or misbehavior, shall we say, by Bigfoot in national parks. And I have no evidence to support that, you know, there isn't or against that. I think that David Paulides, who runs the Missing 411 series, should probably come out and state his... He actually originally was a Bigfoot investigator, but he kind of moved away from admitting that when he did the Missing 411 to try and give himself more credibility, I think, I would imagine. But I think that's what he's getting at with his series, that there's something paranormal in the national parks of the United States and wider world, actually. I think he's done series on national parks in Canada, the UK, and so on, where people have gone missing. I don't know. I haven't looked into all the cases. I mean, I did look at the case surrounding the missing child. Dior Coons, I think his name was. And in that instance, I believe that the parents were probably not telling the entire story, and I think that there was evidence to support that there was a lot more to that, which came back on them, shall we say, than they are revealing. That's what I've read and researched, but again, I don't know the full facts. I haven't deep dived into the case, so it's difficult to say. Are all of them paranormal? Probably not. Are all of them plain and simple? Again, probably not. I'm not sure. I don't have any plans to do a series on it. I think David Paulides does a good job of documenting everything, I should say. So I would point you in his direction if you've got an interest in that and check out his work. Next question. Do you think we will make first contact with extraterrestrials during your lifetime? First contact... probably not, in respect of officially having one-to-one dialect with an alien nation. Probably not. I mean, if extraterrestrials are visiting Earth and they wanted to make contact, they could have a long time ago. I mean, there's evidence that there's unidentified phenomena attributed to unknown life forms going back decades. So if they wanted to speak to us, I think they could have. And they might have done a long time ago, which suggests that they're probably just watching us if there is something there, monitoring us, whatever you might want to call it, rather than wanting to interact with us. Do I think in my lifetime we will discover evidence of there being life forms not from our planet? Yes, I think, you know, NASA are doing some good work on that. I think that they will eventually locate evidence of life forms outside our Earth's atmosphere, absolutely, in our lifetime. I think we are not far away from that. So, bit of a tricky question. I think you're probably, the person who's asking this is probably asking me, do I think that the President of the United States will have a conversation with an alien grey in the White House, possibly, or official communication between our culture and society and an alien culture and society. I think that's what the question is asking, and no, I don't. Next question. Jamie, I met you and Michael at CrimeCon in the US a few years back. We spoke at length about the Zodiac Killer. I was wondering if you had any updates. I think I remember who you are. I think I remember said conversation. Yes, and there have been a lot of updates and progress in the Zodiac case since we spoke. I think, if memory serves, this conversation probably took place in about 2017, 2018, something like that. But yes, there is... there is updates in regards to the case, and we do have another Zodiac episode coming up in the coming months. We're still piecing that together. We've got some new bits of information that we found out, and there's some various people across the internet doing some great work into trying to solve this crime, who've uncovered various things. So we'll be sharing more information in that episode, so stick with us. I'm expecting that one to drop probably end of September time. Next question. Are you DB Cooper? No, unfortunately not. I think he probably survived that jump, don't you? Where he is, who knows? I think the FBI have a likely candidate, but they just can't evidence it in court, shall we say. I didn't finish the Netflix documentary, but did that kind of come up with any conclusions? I'm not sure. You guys let me know. I'm not quite sure where we are on that at the moment. Next question. Jamie, you made reference to the 13 steps and mentalism in a previous episode of your show and talked about the psychology of suggestibility. Do you plan to record more episodes featuring this subject or about this subject specifically? None planned, if I'm honest. About this subject, it is an interesting subject, something that I've been interested in since I was a teenager and so on, and myself and a friend do love this subject. Whether it fits in with the narrative of our show, I don't know. It certainly is fun. I'd love to do an episode on it, but I'm not sure. Maybe. No doubt elements of it will fit into various episodes in the future, particularly around the psychology of crime and individuals involved with it and so on. So we are likely to touch on it more. Whether we dedicate an entire episode specifically to it is another question, but maybe. Watch this space, you never know. Final question, and this question is... I often get asked this question, but the way that it's phrased, shall we say, is often quite... I don't know... It makes me chuckle a little bit. But the question, and I'll just read it verbatim, last question is, who is your favorite serial killer? By definition, I don't have a favorite serial killer. I do have various crimes that I am most invested in researching and that I find most interesting. And those ones that I've previously discussed, like the Manson family, the Zodiac killer, the sons, plural, of Sam. Things like that I do find quite interesting. There are others that I find as interesting, probably not as much, but things like Fred and Rose West in the UK, Harold Shipman, and also why individuals at a young age commit murder as well. For example, the murders of the child in the UK going back into 1993, James Bulger. I find it interesting why young children kill and the psychology behind that, because it just gives suggestion that there's something kind of pre-programmed in their mind or something that they've learned at a very, very young age that makes them do what they do and not realize necessarily that what they're doing is wrong. So I guess it's the element of psychology behind that and those actions that I find interesting. So yeah, things like that. Well, that's all the questions. I just want to thank everyone once again who contributed by asking a question, and obviously to the rest of you for listening to my rambled responses. Thank you all very, very much. It certainly was fun to do, for sure. A really creepy and chilling episode about cults, Satan and true crime next week. So please come back and join us. Until then.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show tonight. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and subscribe to our show so that you never miss an episode. Our shows aren't sponsored by any company or corporation, so any support you can give us goes a long way in supporting the work that we do. Visit deathcult.com for more information on how you can help us and support our broadcasts. There you can also find links to our socials, Patreon, and episodes. From all of us here at Dead Souls, sleep tight.